you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
As the Beatles once sang, I should have known better. Of course, that was a song about romance, but in my case, I should have known better than to broach the subject of politics. But that's exactly what old Dumber Than a Dump Truck Randy did on last week's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. I ran off into the weeds and started talking about Donald Trump and affairs with a porn star and a Playboy playmate. And boy, that generated a lot of strong reactions from you guys. So let's just get this out of the way right up front, shall we? I've already dragged out the old email bag, and this first one right here pretty much sums up how a lot of you seem to feel. Randy, I thought you were a conservative Christian. How can you justify Donald Trump having affairs while he's married? Whoa! First and most importantly, I did not justify Donald Trump having affairs while he was married. In fact, I find that personally reprehensible, and I did not justify it. I was simply pointing out that no one should be surprised, or I guess, more to the point, no one should be disgusted that Donald Trump had affairs while he was married. Trump's been a playboy all his life. This is what I said last week. So anybody out there who was surprised or shocked or dismayed to find out that he'd cheated on his wives, those people are a special kind of stupid in my book. I am not defending what he did. I'm just pointing out that it was highly predictable. And as such, please spare me the right-wing righteous indignation. And for you far-left-wingers out there, fooling around on your wife is not against the law, no matter how much you wish it was in this case. It's immoral, but it's not illegal. So can we just drop this whole idea that he might get impeached for it? He might get divorced for it, but it certainly wouldn't be the first time, would it? And besides, that's between him and Melania anyway. But impeached? People, please. If that were true, Bill Clinton would have been impeached half a dozen times or more. Who knows? Look, I'm not a Trump supporter. I didn't vote for him. Didn't vote for Hillary either. I voted for my wife because I knew I could trust her. But anyway, I'm not a Trumpista. But I'm not a hater either. I guess I'm what you'd call a realist. So when I hear that he cheated on his wife with a porn star in the centerfold, I just kind of shrug and say, duh. Am I the only one who saw this train wreck before it happened? Wait, don't answer that. I'm sorry I even ask. I guess I ran off into the weeds again, didn't I? Just more emails to answer next week, Randy. Maybe I could really stir up a fire ant mound and talk about my views on guns. Focus, Randy. Focus. Yeah. The Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Right. Yeah, Easter weekend. Yeah, I'm going to try to focus on that. Oh, and Friday was the first day of Passover, too. Certainly don't want to overlook Passover. As a matter of fact, I'm going to run off into the weeds again. It's my show. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to point out that Passover and Easter have a lot in common. A lot. I think I talked about this on last year's Easter show. But the parallels between Passover and Easter are nothing short of amazing. And I'm going to admit to you, that makes perfect sense to me. Well, stop and think about it. Jews and Christians worship the same God, the God of Abraham. And while we're at it, Muslims worship the God of Abraham too. But that's another discussion for another day. Let's just stick to this idea that Jews and Christians worship the same God. I'm of the belief that Judaism and Christianity cannot exist without one another. Without the Old Testament, no New Testament. Without the Old Covenant, no New Covenant. And without Passover, no communion. Why? Because Jesus and his disciples were eating the Passover Seder when he introduced the tradition of the bread is my body broken for you, and the wine is my blood spilled for you, and all that stuff. Besides, Jesus was a Jew. 99% of all first century Christians were Jews. And I believe, and this is just what I believe when Jesus said, "Follow me," he was actually telling people to follow God. Because in the Christian tradition, that's what Jesus was, God in human form. So I think Judaism and Christianity are a lot more similar than they are different. And both Jews and Christians need to stop arguing over how we're different. We need to start focusing on what we have in common, namely that we both worship the same God, the God of Abraham. So happy Passover and happy Easter. But this is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. So to bring that whole discussion back around to the subject of food, I couldn't help but notice how many similar items there are on the menus of both the Passover Seder and Easter dinner. Take lamb as a good example. Lamb is a mandatory food element in the observance of Passover. It symbolizes the blood of the lamb that God told the Hebrews to smear on their door frames, you know, so the angel of death would pass over their homes and the 12 plagues of Egypt. As a matter of fact, that's where the term Passover comes from in Judaism. Now, that might seem like it's pretty elementary to some of you, but you might be surprised how many people don't know that simple fact about the name for Passover. In any case, lamb is an essential part of the Passover Seder. Likewise, the blood of the lamb is at the heart and soul of Christianity, too. In fact, most New Testament scholars believe that the blood of the lamb in the Old Testament is a direct precursor to the blood of the lamb reference to Jesus' death on the cross in the New Testament. And that's my point. Passover and Easter go hand in hand. And I think we should be looking for what Judaism and Christianity have in common, not conflict. Think about it for just a minute. Both Jews and Christians are going to be eating lamb this weekend as a part of their deepest held religious beliefs, some of their most cherished holiday customs in Passover and Easter. And I don't think that's coincidental. I think it's communal. You know, as in the community or the family of God. So with that thought in mind, it's completely appropriate for the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show to explore the many different ways that Jews and Christians can celebrate their respective traditions and holidays with lamb this weekend. So we're going to be talking to our dear friend Patricia Pandazopoulos about some specific cooking techniques for lamb. I think you'll enjoy it. But you know, another popular Easter entree is ham. And this is one dish on which observant Jews and committed Christians do differ, and they differ very strongly. Of course, Jewish law forbids the eating of pork, so ham is a definite no-no for Hebrews. But oddly enough, have you noticed that Muslims happen to share that belief? No. I'm not going off in the weeds again. But I just thought I'd point out that little irony. Because, like I said earlier, Jews and Christians and Muslims, we all worship the God of Abraham, don't we? I'm just saying. But back to ham. Easter ham is a long-standing tradition in the Christian faith. But do you know why? And if you've listened to this show for any amount of time at all, you know that by now I looked it up. Google is your friend. See, back in the old days, long before refrigeration or our ability to manufacture ice, slaughtering a pig and harvesting the meat in the autumn just made sense. The cold temperatures helped to keep the meat from going bad before they could cure it and store it away for eating throughout the winter months and into the spring. You remember the executive chef out at the George Ranch, Nick Castleberg, told us a few weeks ago. Smoking meat back in the old days in early Texas involved temperatures of around 90 degrees or so. So what we call smoking meat today is vastly different from back then. We smoke meat at 200 degrees, maybe 250 degrees. They smoked meat at 90 degrees. So it took our ancestors weeks, who knows, sometimes maybe months, to properly cure and smoke meat. So pigs that were slaughtered in the fall provided meat in the spring, right around Easter. And that's why ham is a traditional Easter entree today. And it's also why we're going to talk to Tony Taylor of Lanyap Catering, and he's going to tell us how to prepare your Easter ham. I think you'll enjoy that too. Oh, and I almost forgot. Today is not only Easter, it's April Fool's Day. Easter and April Fool's Day on the same day? Who said God doesn't have a sense of humor?
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Randy Hames for Lone Star Grills with a Z. Lone Star Grills builds custom smokers, barbecue pits, fire pits, trailer pits, mobile barbecue pits, and more. All in their state-of-the-art computer-controlled fabrication shop manned by skilled craftsmen. Amber and Chris Goodlander meet every customer and every customer's needs. Don't see what you want? They'll custom build it for you. No converted oil drums here. Lone Star Grill's fully tooled on-site fabrication shop can construct anything in steel, stainless steel, or aluminum with flawless precision and the highest quality workmanship every time. Lone Star Grills also has Big Green Eggs, pellet smokers and grills, plus a full line of high-quality made-in-the-USA gas grills and all the accessories. Check out their showroom on I-45 in Willis or call 936-344-6151. And they ship cookers all over the world from their website, LoneStarGrills.com. You spell grills with a Z, but you'll give them an A-plus every time. Lone Star Grills, you deserve the best.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
It's always such a pleasure to welcome back our good friend, Patricia Pandazopoulos. She owns and operates Anonymous Artisan Bites and Coffee Bar. Hi, Patricia.
Hello, how are you, Randy?
We're doing well. And, you know, it's been a while since you last visited with us, and we understand some big things are happening over at Anonymous, so fill us in.
Well, we're moving to a bigger location.
Cool.
And we'll be making an announcement of that hopefully here in the near future.
Well, great.
Because the current space that we were in was very small, so we have decided that we need to give a little bit more opportunity and room to our customers to be able to visit with us.
Well, Anonymous Artisan Bites and Coffee Bar was named Best Bakery in Texas by BuzzFeed. We pointed this out last time. So in your opinion, what makes the baking goods at Anonymous so distinctive?
Well, the goal that we have there is we always try to use the best local ingredients that we can find that are top-notch, high-quality products that makes a true difference in each recipe that we do.
So do you have any plans for expanding the bakery when you open up your new location?
Yes, we do. We're going to have bigger display cases, so that way we'll be able to offer a bigger selection on a daily basis. Because of the location that we were previously in, it was very small, so we were only able to have one display case. So that limited us on the amount of dessert options that we could give to our customers. So in the new location, we'll definitely be able to provide more selection for everybody.
And we have also heard, Patricia, that you are something of a well-recognized authority on olive oils. How did that all come about?
That's come about because my great-grandfather in Greece started an olive orchard grove, and it's been in the family for 4 generations now. So I have basically been raised in an olive orchard grove because I've been very blessed to go to Greece every summer, and I've been able to be part of the collecting of olives, which usually happens between November and March, and I've had the opportunity to be part of the pressing process because in our village in Greece, which is named Phalanthi, has its own olive press. So I get to go and enjoy the whole process of what it's like to press the olives and see how beautiful, truly how beautiful this product is. And in Greece, we call extra virgin olive oil liquid gold, and it truly is like you're drinking liquid gold.
Well, now, Patricia, we've spoken with a guy who owns an olive oil shop. I mean, that's all he sells. And he has insisted that a lot of the overseas manufacturers of olive oil simply out-and-out lie about the purity of their product. He told us that they cut the olive oil with other cheaper oils to save money, and they out-and-out deceive the customer by calling it extra virgin olive oil, when in fact, it is not. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yes, I do. He's completely correct. I'll tell you what, from our experience, what we see. We have a lot of different companies that come to our village, and they'll bring trucks in and purchase all of the olive oil that we have inside of the mill. They'll take it to their countries, and they'll do exactly what this friend of yours had suggested. They will take this incredibly high-quality extra virgin olive oil that comes from our mill, our press, and then they'll mix it with a lower-grade olive oil. And then they will bottle it and send it to the United States and not represent the correct product. Just like what he said.
So how can we be sure that we're getting real, true, blue, extra virgin olive oil?
You have to be able to find somebody that you trust. So, for example, the gentleman that you were speaking to that has the shop, you have to be able to trust a person that is importing it, and you know he's bringing you a clean, beautiful product. For example, in our shop, we're selling our olive oil that we produce from our olive orchard in Greece. So the customers that come into our business, they know that what they're purchasing from us is truly extra virgin olive oil. It hasn't been mixed with anything, and they're getting a pure, clean product. So that's the only thing that I can suggest, but it's very hard to find people like myself or this gentleman. You really have to do a lot of research in finding somebody that you can trust to be able to get a true, clean product.
Happy Easter, Patricia. We're discussing possible entrees and side dishes for Easter dinner. And one of the most traditional entrees is lamb. However, many of our listeners are really intimidated by the prospect of cooking lamb. Should they be, or is that just a silly notion?
They shouldn't be, but there's a process to cooking lamb. There is.
Well, explain.
Okay, lamb is a type of meat that truly needs to be prepared, marinated, and it needs to be cooked slowly. For example, for us in the Greek Orthodox tradition, it's more traditional for men to take part of this process. Is we get up in the morning, early in the morning, probably at dawn, and the men set up a spit, an outdoor spit, place the lamb on the spit, and it is continually turned, whether it's by hand or whether it's by a mechanism, an electronic mechanism that turns the lamb by itself, for literally probably 7 to 8 hours.
Wow.
It depends on the size of the lamb, obviously, how many hours it needs to be cooked, but it's done over a very slow process. That's the only way to assure yourself that it's going to be tender. I know it sounds like a lot of hours, but it's kind of like the same idea with turkey that we have here for Thanksgiving. You know, when you cook a turkey, it takes hours to cook it if you're going to cook it the right way. I'm not talking about the fried kind of turkey. I'm talking about the turkey that you would roast in your oven. You would just take it really slow and just let it just cook on a very low temperature. So that's the same idea with the lamb.
All my life I've heard if you don't cook lamb correctly, it can be tough, and now we know why. Is that the biggest mistake most of us make when cooking lamb?
Yes. And I'll tell you something, Randy, on my side. I know quite a few people, they don't have this issue. I have this issue. Lamb to me has a funny kind of smell, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but just particularly to my nose, it has a funny kind of smell. And what I like to do with my lamb is I like to cut small little incisions inside of the lamb a couple of days before, and then I'll stuff whole garlic cloves, and I will insert them wherever I've made the incisions in the lamb, and I just let that marinate. And it kind of cuts through that scent that the lamb gives off. That might be a little bit different to people that are not used to eating lamb. So that's one tip I can suggest that does help in making the lamb delicious.
Now, do you favor braising, roasting, grilling, and why?
I prefer the roasting for the fact that what we just discussed is lamb needs its time. Lamb needs to be cooked slowly to make sure that you have a tender piece of meat. It's tough, and it's hard to cut through it if it hasn't been cooked correctly. So my preference for me is roasting. But again, that's because I also grew up on roasting the lamb. That's how my parents did it. That's how my grandparents did it. And I'm just more accustomed to cooking it in that method.
Is lamb best served medium rare?
Wow.
Did I throw you a curve there, Patricia?
You threw me a curve a little bit, Randy, because you see us Greeks a little bit, we kind of like things kind of cooked through. And so if you bring me any of these top-notch chefs right next to me, they might give me a little punch here or there if I say something to cook it right through. So our preference is this type of meat. No, it's not made to be cooked well done, but it does need to be cooked through.
Now, a lot of chefs favor putting cubed lamb on skewers for grilling. Do you like that idea?
I do. It's a delicious idea, but you have to make sure that you've marinated the lamb before to help the tenderization portion to be at its optimum level so that the meat isn't tough.
Well, now we've talked about a few different ways you could prepare lamb. Now tell us your personal favorite.
I would still have to say, Randy, that I like it on the spit. You know, it's a process. Don't get me wrong. It's definitely a big process. You know, you have to have the right equipment, but on a spit, with it being cooked slowly for so many hours, it's mouthwatering once you just take a bite out of it.
And what side dishes do you recommend we serve alongside that lamb?
Well, for us, where it's traditional to serve oven roasted potatoes, and meaning what I would put on them is the extra virgin olive oil, good extra virgin olive oil with oregano, salt and pepper, and lots of lemon juice. Just a few ingredients, very simple, roast them in the oven.
It is always a delight to host Patricia Pandizopoulos of Anonymous Artisan Bites and Coffee Bar. They're going to be reopening in a larger location soon, and as soon as we figure out what that is, we're going to have you back on the show to tell us all about it, okay?
Thank you, and I look forward to it, and happy Easter to you and to all the listeners.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames for Lone Star Grills with a Z. Lone Star Grills builds custom smokers, barbecue pits, fire pits, trailer pits, mobile barbecue pits, and more. All in their state-of-the-art computer-controlled fabrication shop manned by skilled craftsmen. Amber and Chris Goodlander meet every customer and every customer's needs. Don't see what you want? They'll custom build it for you. No converted oil drums here. Lone Star Grill's fully tooled on-site fabrication shop can construct anything in steel, stainless steel, or aluminum with flawless precision and the highest quality workmanship every time. Lone Star Grills also has Big Green Eggs, pellet smokers and grills, plus a full line of high-quality made-in-the-USA gas grills and all the accessories. Check out their showroom on I-45 in Willis or call 936-344-6151. And they ship cookers all over the world from their website, LoneStarGrills.com. You spell grills with a Z, but you'll give them an A-plus every time. Lone Star Grills, you deserve the best. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about a buck a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for a buck. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about a buck a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about a buck a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Please welcome back one of the most jocular guests we've ever hosted on the show, Antonio Taylor. How you been, Tony?
I've been doing just fine, Randy. How about yourself?
We're just fine and dandy around here. For those who missed our first conversation with Tony, it was earlier this month. First of all, you can hear it on our podcast section of our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. As a matter of fact, you can hear all of our past episodes of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show there, but I digress. I started to say, if you missed our first visit with Tony, he was not formally trained as a chef. In fact, you kind of taught yourself the culinary arts. Isn't that right, Tony?
Yeah, that's correct. I began cooking when I was around 9 years old.
Wow.
I'm 45 now, so I've been doing this for about 36 years.
And then a few years ago, you began teaching other people how to cook at Franklin Park Conservatory. Tell us about it.
Yeah, the Franklin Park Conservatory and Botanical Gardens is one of the largest botanical gardens actually in the United States. It's located in Columbus, Ohio. And before I had relocated here to Houston, that's where I had been for the last 4 years, since 2013. I'm originally from West Monroe, Louisiana, so my roots are from down south, but I was able to cultivate my talent and my knowledge and my skill into sharing that with other people in the form of education. I really, really enjoy doing it. That's my passion.
Well, it's mine too. I teach Bible to teenagers at church. What drives you to teach cooking classes, Tony? Why is it your passion?
The ability to really interact with people and to get that immediate fulfillment when people are able to do something right then, instantly, and achieve it themselves. One of the greatest feelings is when you see someone's face light up when they taste something that they've actually made, when they didn't think that they could actually make it, but they were able to put something together with the correct instruction, and you can just see their self-esteem and their confidence just go up levels.
Can listeners get in touch with you and line up a cooking class now?
Well, what I'm actually doing is, since I've been here in Houston, I know that there's a lot of places that host cooking classes, and I've been in contact with a few people to see if they possibly wanted another instructor there. I've been given some information as to who I need to contact, so I'm in the process of doing that. So I don't have a building just yet, but I do have people who are willing to work with me so that we can be able to offer that to the public.
So how would people get in touch with you to line up one of those classes?
What they can do is, right now, you can follow me on my Instagram page, which is TheAntonio'sKitchen at Instagram.com, or you can follow me on my Facebook page. You can just go to my name, Antonio Taylor, and more than likely, I'm probably going to be the first one that pops up.
Tony is also the owner, CEO, and founder of Lanyap Culinary and Consulting. What do you guys do at Lanyap?
What we're in the process of doing now, in the past, we've helped people with menu planning, the building and establishment of restaurants, things of that nature. What I've been focusing my energy on lately is my spice line. It's going to be lanyapspices.com. The website should be up and going within the next 30 days. And I've concocted a special all-purpose seasoning blend that I use on all of my cooking. And I was able to give samples out when I hosted a meet and greet about 2 weeks ago that Greg was actually able to attend. We had a wonderful time. And since I've introduced the spice line to the few people who were able to come, and I've mailed some samples out to people, I've gotten such a tremendous response and wonderful feedback from it. So I decided that we're going to go into production for that. And that's going to be the main focus as to right now have the website up and going so that people can go to the website and order the products through there.
Well, when that comes to fruition, we want to have you back on the show so you can tell us how to get them.
Definitely.
Easter weekend has arrived, and a lot of at-home chefs are scurrying around trying to find something special to prepare for Easter dinner. So we've already spent some time on lamb on today's show.
Mm-hmm.
That's a traditional Easter and Passover dish. But before we move on to ham, which is what we want you to talk about, what's your favorite way to prepare lamb? How do you like to do it?
Whenever I'm doing lamb, I like to smoke lamb. I do. I like to smoke lamb, and lamb is good oven roasted as well. If I ever have my preference when it comes to preparing meat, unless it's a steak or, you know, hamburgers or something like that, smoking is almost my favorite method of cooking for all of them, to be honest with you. But yeah, if I had to choose, I would go smoking as well.
Well, if you like smoking, you fit in around here real well. Now let's focus on Easter ham. Have to tell you a quick story first. I texted our executive producer, Greg, you referred to him earlier, Greg Berlocker, and he and I were discussing what we wanted to talk to you about, and I said the subject was Easter ham, and I said to Greg, tell Tony we'd like to have him talk about roasting, smoking, braising, but I fat-fingered the S in braising, and it came out braiding. So, you know, like braiding your hair. So do you have a recipe for braiding ham, Tony?
I don't think I have one of those.
Well, first of all, we should address the issue of shopping for a ham.
Mm-hmm.
What qualities should we be looking for? Well, you know, we're always told marbling is important in a brisket. Is marbling important in a ham?
It is important, but it's not as important as you would find in a brisket. Because when you're looking to find a good ham, you'd be surprised how so much of it is lean anyway, mm-hmm. if you get the proper and right cut from the right meat market. You do want to have some marbling in almost any cut of meat that you're going to be looking at smoking, because you want to impart that additional flavor onto it. Also, what type of injections that you're using, if you want to go that route when you're doing hams. Me, I always do inject mine. I think two of the most important elements when you are going to smoke a ham is the injection that you're going to use, and of course the glaze that you're going to be brushing the ham with.
We'll talk about those for a minute. What do you like to inject, and what do you like to glaze your ham with?
Now, whenever I'm doing a ham, I make what I call like a little Cajun butter, and it's basically some unsalted butter, a little Crystal brand hot sauce, a little onion powder, black pepper, and cayenne, and I melt all of those down. I make a nice little decent amount, and I have one of my meat syringes, and I just inject it all the way through until the flavor is just bursting out. I want to make sure that I cover the entire thing and make sure that the flavor gets down into every bite.
And then glazing.
Now, when I'm glazing, a lot of times the glazing that I'm going to use is going to be dependent on what else I'm going to be serving the ham with. More often than not, the last couple of years, I've always managed to get like a cinnamon cherry type glaze. A lot of people seem to like to have that one. Whenever I've served that for family and friends, it's always gone over well. One of the things that I do like to do is I do like to use cola with mine, a lot of brown sugar, whole cinnamon sticks, a little clove, and a little juice from maraschino cherries. A lot of people, they'll get those little jars of the cherries and they'll have the juice. Sometimes you'll drink it or throw it away. And I always manage to use that into the glaze that I'm using. Reduce that down. Also simmer it with a little orange peel. And as that reduces down and thickens, I like to brush my ham with that throughout the entire time that it's cooking, so that when it comes out, all of that flavor is really imparted into the ham.
Wow, cherry juice. That's great. Now, smoking. You said you love to smoke, so let's smoke that ham. This is, after all, the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in our audience are very familiar with smoking briskets or ribs. So are the techniques used to smoke a ham much the same, or are there some nuances we need to know about?
It really just depends on how big the ham is that you're going to be smoking and what type of wood it is that you're going to be using. Generally, my rule of thumb, and I know that everyone is different. If you ask 10 people how to do it, you're going to get 10 different responses. A lot of times when I'm working with pork, I tend to use fruit woods. I'm going to always use apple wood, cherry wood, and even some peach woods. If I'm going with beef, then I'll use my mesquite, hickory, and things of that nature. When I am doing hams, though, I generally do use apple wood or cherry wood. I like to get my smoke no more than about 215, 220 degrees. Get a nice good smoke going and just let that ham just smoke in there for a few hours.
Let's talk about how big the ham should be. The ham's household number is 6. So what size ham would you suggest for that number of mouths to feed?
If you're going to have 6 people, and roughly everyone is a pretty adequate ham eater, I think that you would be able to get away with no more than a 10-pound ham. You should have more than enough for everyone with some left over. Nowadays, whenever you see the holidays roll around, you always see a lot of recipes for the leftovers that we have afterwards for the ham, the turkey, and things like that, because there's so much of Easter menus that are similar to Thanksgiving. I believe if you're going to have that many people, that size ham would give you enough to satisfy everyone's cravings for dinner, but not be so overwhelming that you feel like you're stuck with ham for the next 2 months in your refrigerator.
Believe it or not, that was my next question, Tony. Give us some good ideas of what to do with the leftover ham, but you've already done it. We can always depend on good advice to come out of the mouth of Tony Taylor, who owns Lanyap Culinary and Consulting and Lanyap Spices. Tony, don't be a stranger, because after all, being strange is my job, okay?
Definitely.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames for Lone Star Grills with a Z. Lone Star Grills builds custom smokers, barbecue pits, fire pits, trailer pits, mobile barbecue pits, and more. All in their state-of-the-art computer-controlled fabrication shop manned by skilled craftsmen. Amber and Chris Goodlander meet every customer and every customer's needs. Don't see what you want? They'll custom build it for you. No converted oil drums here. Lone Star Grill's fully tooled on-site fabrication shop can construct anything in steel, stainless steel, or aluminum with flawless precision and the highest quality workmanship every time. Lone Star Grills also has Big Green Eggs, pellet smokers and grills, plus a full line of high-quality made-in-the-USA gas grills and all the accessories. Check out their showroom on I-45 in Willis or call 936-344-6151. And they ship cookers all over the world from their website, LoneStarGrills.com. You spell grills with a Z, but you'll give them an A-plus every time. Lone Star Grills, you deserve the best. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
Well, here we are at my favorite part of the show now, that time when I introduced my favorite guy in the radio business. So here he is, Casey Kasem, everybody.
Oh, well, thank you, Randy. Let's look back at 1979 and Barry Manilow's third big hit that year. Here's the number one song on American Top 40.
So what is the number one song on American Top 40 this week, Casey?
Mandy by Barry Manilow.
You know, Casey, we've listened to you for years. We've always wondered, do the producers ever let you ad-lib, or do you always have to read from that corny script?
Hold on. Why, no, Randy. I can make things up on the fly.
April Fools, everybody. Of course, what you're actually hearing is the voice of my immensely talented partner on the Hudson and Harrigan Show for 30 years, Fred Olson. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I think that kind of morphed in. Remember the guy that did Smuckers?
Oh, yeah.
Smuckers. It has to be good. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was also on a number of cop shows, too. Great actor.
Yeah. You have always possessed that uncanny ability to mimic almost any voice you hear. When did you first notice you could do that?
Well, I lived in a little town, and we had one TV channel. Okay, in a little town called Ukiah, Oregon. And if you look, it's still there. Same amount of people. It hasn't changed. But we had one channel, and on that channel, we got the Ed Sullivan Show. And thank God, literally, because on that show, every impressionist came on, from Rich Little, Frank Gorshin, every comedian. Remember, it was always, tonight on our show, Tofu G. Joe, the comedy team of Wayne and Schuster, and from Brussels, Belgium, the world championship plate spinner. And that's kind of what I grew up with. I actually had that kind of entertainment one day a week. And, of course, on Sunday, there was Walter Cronkite.
Well, you know, I was just going to point out, you could do other famous DJ voices like Don Imus, not necessarily Howard Stern, but you do a great Walter Cronkite. And Paul Harvey. Do a little Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey. But I'm going to go back to the Don Imus because he did his retirement the other day.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a second here. I'm going to talk about my brother Fred, who lives out there in Phoenix, Arizona, selling T-shirts to unsuspecting tourists. And,
You know, I worked with Fred since the mid-70s and in a couple of different jobs, a couple of different radio stations. I am convinced voice impersonation is a gift from God. It's not something you can learn to do. You can either do it or you can't. It's like you're either fast or you're not. You can't teach speed. Do you agree, Fred?
You know, I agree, and I don't know what clicked in my head to do that as a kid, but I found as a little kid I could actually entertain adults, and that's kind of powerful when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
When people look at you and go, wow, you know, he's strange. But, it was a blessing and a gift, and it got me that morning show that you and I did. That's the reason I was included, because I could do impressions and things like that and think on the fly. And, again, it is God-given thing, you know, really, and I do not doubt that for a second. At the time, I had no concept of God-given ability, but I look back now and realize that every step of the way in my life, he was a footprint, man. It's all on him.
Well, we've spent a lot of time talking about Easter dinners today, because it is Easter weekend after all, but I used Fred's voice impersonations to start a discussion about the other noteworthy observance today, April Fool's Day. Now, both of us have worked in radio most of our lives, and we've seen our share of well-planned April Fool's stunts on the air. Do you have any that come to mind, Fred?
That we did?
Or that you heard about?
Oh, gosh. I'm always on the lookout for that. I'm always April Fool's. I was
Yeah.
I weigh everything anybody says, even on TV. To be honest with you, I'm kind of drawing a blank. How about you?
Well, then that's all right. I've got a couple. Before you and I met in 1974, I worked with a mutual friend of ours, Tommy Kramer, at a radio station in Shreveport, Louisiana. And this station never had any promotion money to spend. And so the program director had to come up with creative ways to promote the radio station. We sponsored an all-day bike ride around a nearby lake, and the PD put me and another goofy DJ on a bicycle built for two. We got about halfway around the lake, and my riding partner said, I got to stop and run out in the woods and pee. So he winked at me and urged me to come along with him, and when we got out of sight, he started to puff on a cigarette of questionable substance, which made the rest of the ride absolutely hilarious. And then we also staged a float down the Red River. And people would show up in bass boats and just flotation devices, everything you could imagine. And we just floated down the Red River from downtown Shreveport to the Barksdale Bridge and took all day long. And it was really disgusting, because when you got on the river, you realized you could tell every time somebody flushed their toilet. It was awful.
Oh, no.
And then the Barksdale Bridge was the site for another deal. One of our DJs talked for like 2 weeks on the air about how he was going to jump off the Barksdale Bridge. The Barksdale Bridge is about, 100, 150 feet high. guy. Well, and a lot of people showed up. This guy drove up in this long limousine. He stands on top of the bridge, throws his hands high up in the air. Everybody cheers. And then he walks down to the base of the bridge, and he climbs up on one of the pillars about 2 feet off the ground. And he jumped about 2 feet from the pillar to the ground and went, ta-da, ran back up up to the limo and drove away.
Before they could beat him up.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And then one morning I'm driving to work, and I hear the boss. He's on the morning show. And he says, we're all extremely embarrassed about a news item that appeared about Randy Hames in today's edition of the local newspaper. And he said, Randy is extremely ashamed of what has happened, and he'll have a full explanation on his show this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So now I'm driving to work, and I'm thinking, what is he doing?
Yeah.
So I get to work, and I go up to him, and I said, Larry, what were you talking about? And he said, I'm sure you'll think of something. And he laughed and just turned around and walked off. So at 4 o'clock, I launch into this long apology about this item in the newspaper, and I wrapped it up by saying, I'm extremely humiliated, and I'm deeply sorry, everybody, but I've already sold the refrigerator.
That's good.
So, you know, this were creative ways of trying to do it. I don't think any of those things happened on April Fool's Day, but they were funny nonetheless.
Well, we were just trying to get more ratings, and that's what it was all about.
Yeah.
That's why the media now just tries to keep you so in this sense of drama so you'll, you know, keep watching.
Yeah.
And then we were doing it because we wanted you to keep listening.
But the best one was Rebel Used Cars.
Oh.
Finally, one year, the PD got like, I don't know, $5,000 to promote the radio station. And so he went to a place in Bossier City called Rebel Used Cars, and he bought like 5 used cars for $5,000. That'll tell you how bad they were. And then he gave each one of us a car, and he said, now go hide it somewhere and make up clues. And every day we'd give a different clue as to where the car was parked. And I parked mine in the back of a steakhouse, and I went inside, make sure that they were okay with the car being parked in their parking lot. And then I went on the air and started doing clues. And about 2 weeks into the contest, I answered the request line. And this guy says, is that car that you hid have the license plate, blah, 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 blah. And he read off the license plate. And I said, that's it. You win. And there's a long pause on the other end of the line. And the guy goes, nah, no thanks. And he hung up. Because it was a piece of junk. Well, before we get away, so Easter dinner, what are you and Bev doing for Easter dinner this year?
You know, I'm not sure.
Well, this has been a scintillating interview about cooking, hasn't it?
Yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
But no plans to dye Easter eggs or anything like that?
No, we have our thing is we love, it's kind of an addiction. It's those Easter egg malt balls.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate covered, and then has that hard candy shell. And I used to hate those, and then my granddaughter fell in love with them, and then we had them around the house, and then I fell in love with them, and so we can't have them in the house anymore.
Yeah,
but if I could, I would have a bag of those.
Yeah, those are evil.
Man, they're good, because they melt. They have 4 layers of melting in your mouth. See, now you got a craving. I threw a craving on me, as Jim Bobby used to say. I'm going to have to go get some.
Well, then, happy Easter. From those two April fools on the radio, old Fred and Randy. It's good to talk to you, my brother.
Hey, partners, always I love you, man. God bless you.
And love to Bev. And why don't we get together sometime other than on the telephone?
Hey, that sounds like a great idea that I could see your faces.
Yeah, maybe that's why we don't do it.
Yeah, there's that.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?